Blog Talk Radio.
North America or South America,
whether you're on the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc countries, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. On this morning, I want to say that the Day of Atonement for 2022 will be observed the night of the 4th, which is Tuesday night, so there will not be a newcomer's class on Tuesday. We will be starting the observance of Atonement, and that will go through Wednesday evening. So Tuesday night and Wednesday night is Atonement, Day of Atonement 2022. Okay. As we observe that, remember that that is a no-work day, a no-anything day. It is a strict day of observance to the Most High. And I know I have a physical therapy appointment that day that I have to get rescheduled for the simple reason that when I scheduled it, didn't check the calendar. Anyway, it is a no-anything day. It is a day of, it's a Sabbath. It's a most holy day to the Most High. What I want us to understand is that since the tabernacle, well, I'll do that in a minute. I'll do that after we pray in. Let us go now, and let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let's turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. You deserve all glory and honor and praise, Father, for you are majesty upon majesty. You are glory upon glory. Hallelujah. And we just thank you this morning for your redemption, your salvation, and your atonement. Hallelujah. We thank you for the gift of Messiah, Father, that you would see fit to come down and to die on a tree for us, Father, that we might be able to come back into right relationship with you, Father. Hallelujah. And Father, we just thank you right now for all that you have done for us and all that you're going to do. I shall bless Yah Elohim at all times. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hand praise to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn now your eyes and your ears back toward your people Israel. Hear our supplications and our prayers, and deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you would call in faith in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come, and that they would obey your commands. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Book of, we're going to read on this morning. Let us go to John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us have the sounding of the shofar.
Shining hour, my eye, bright, kaya, and hour, We are
right. Amen, amen, amen. Our foundations of discipleship on this morning. Always want to keep this before us. A disciple is someone that's in the process, or it is the process of making someone become like Messiah, like Christ. We are commanded by the scriptures that we are to become Christ-like. And that is our ultimate goal. And he says, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Messiah walked not in sin. We are to become where we walk not in sin, where we don't transgress the laws of the Most High. Messiah himself said, he or to who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what this simply means is, to who it is given to hear, let them hear. Not everybody is given to hear what and understand what is being said. And his disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why don't you just speak to them plainly? Say it to them plainly, what you're trying to say. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. This was for the masses in Messiah's day. When he was up on the Mount Olives, and he was preaching the gospel, and he was bringing the good news of the kingdom, it was not for everybody that was there to hear it. It was not given to them to understand it. We have to understand that that same thing applies today. It is not given to everyone that hears the gospel to understand it or to hear exactly what it's saying. Verse 12, for whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and they hearing hear not, neither do they understand. We have to understand that this thing, this good news of the kingdom, is for those that are chosen by the Most High to hear it and to understand it and to do it. Can't you be a hearer of the word only? Can't be an understander of the word and not be a doer of the word. Okay, so he's calling us into all those things as his disciples. Now, this is something that if we're able to hear it, this is what the angels, the prophets, righteous men wanted to hear. How do I do this? Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So the fact that you are able to hear the gospel, and if you're able to understand and receive it and do it, then blessed are you that you're walking not in a lie, that you're walking not deceived. So our foundations are, first you must seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. First precept, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you seek the Most High first and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. He will make sure that you have it. He'll make sure that you get it. In the scriptures and life and everything. But he has to be first. Value the kingdom above everything else. Must be, you know, to get into the kingdom must be your first priority. And to stay in the kingdom must be your first priority. You must have a fear of losing the kingdom. A fear of offending the Most High. Again, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. We won't read all of these, but we'll get what's important. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all. Got to be willing to give your all he has and buys that field. So take your all. You can't put anything before the kingdom. Can't put anyone, you can't value anything or anyone more than you value the Most High or his kingdom. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all key words is this person is willing to give everything that they have to obtain the kingdom. You got to be of like mind as well. Got to be willing to give everything you have to obtain the kingdom. Whatever the Most High says, whatever he requires of you. Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. You got to be willing. You have to seek the Most High with your whole heart. The moniker of this ministry is the king. This gospel is free, but the kingdom's going to cost you your all. He wants your all. He wants your whole heart. Anything less is not acceptable with him. That's why when we read about atonement, then we have to understand that he's expecting us to follow his law. And if we sin, we do it ignorantly, not willfully. That we sin ignorantly. We don't know that we're sinning until somebody tells us. Then he says, I'm true and just to forgive you for that. Your whole heart, seeking his kingdom with your whole heart and seeking the Most High with your whole heart, then you're going to give your all. And there's nothing that you will, there's nothing that you won't be willing to give that you have to bring about his kingdom, to enter into it and to bring it about, because that's your commandment, to bring about his kingdom in the earth. Psalm 119, verse 34, the book of Psalms 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. If you have understanding, then you understand that you have to keep his law. You don't look for ways out of keeping his law. You don't look for a way that says, oh, I don't have to do that. If he specifically says, okay, that's not required anymore, then you don't have to do whatever's not required anymore. But if he doesn't say it specifically, then you should be trying to do everything you can to keep it until he gives you understanding. Keep all of his law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. You cannot observe with your whole heart what is not in your heart. That's why it says the new covenant is, I'm going to write my laws, my commandments, my statutes, my judgments, my ordinances in your heart and in your mind, that you might observe to do them. How? With your whole heart. Not that you might say, oh, that don't apply to me. If you're trying to be a disciple, then you are trying to do everything that the Most High and through Messiah has said, this is what I want. I want your all. This is what I came and gave, even unto death. I gave my all. I expect the same of you. Go to Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me. You got to have a heart. You got to have a desire to know the Most High. You can't do this thing robotically. You have to search him out. That means that you want to know what makes them happy. You want to know what displeases them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is Israel returning to him with the whole heart. This is the Gentile nations coming to him for the first time with the whole heart. This is what he desires. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 32, or 33. We're not going to read all these. We're going to get the meat of it, and we will move on. This is what Messiah says. Messiah himself says, and each and every one of us has to take this to heart. He's telling us exactly what he wants. He's telling us exactly what it takes. Third rule. If a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and husband, if you are female, yea, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Can't have anyone in your life that you would put before Messiah, that you would put before the Most High, that you would compromise and say, you know, I will do what you say, Yah, but this person, he says, you can't have anybody, not even yourself, above him. So you got to be willing to even give your life. 7. And whosoever does not bear his cross, is not willing to do whatever it takes and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Again, he's not saying that if you halfway do this, or if you don't do this, that you are a bad disciple, a poor disciple. He says you can't be one. You can't be a follower. Calling on his name, asking for salvation, asking to be delivered, asking for eternal life, but you're not willing to follow him. You're not willing to do whatever he says. You're not willing to put him first. Because you can't be my disciple then. You can't be jumped into this club, into this game. Because you're not willing to do what it takes. Being jumped to this game takes your life. You transgress against this gang, it costs you your life. Now, we have people that will do that for the mafia. We have people that will do that for the Crips and the Bloods, and even do that for the Black Panther movement. But when it comes to the Most High, don't seem to be able to be able to do that. We'll do it for a man, but somehow cannot do it for the Most High Elohim. Makes no sense to me. Thing. And here's where most people are not taught and where they fail at. They don't consider the cost. What is it going to take me to do what he's asking me to do? They don't consider the cost. Verse 28. For which of you intends to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost? You're talking about doing a work. This is a lifetime's work. When is it going to cost me to do this? He said it's going to take my whole heart. He said it's going to take my all. Am I willing to do that? Because see, now you have set the expectation in your heart and you know what it takes. You're not just you know, going about doing something, but you understand what it takes. You have sufficient willpower. That you have sufficient heart to do this. Leave happily after he has laid the foundation. You start off, you excited about doing the work, but then you're not able to finish it because the seed of the word fell on shallow ground. Didn't take deep root. Then you didn't read the word and you didn't study and you didn't water the word within you. And a lot of the word you rejected. And you found out that you couldn't complete this mission. Couldn't do it. And all behold began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Didn't you tell me you were a Christian? Didn't you tell me you got saved? Didn't you tell me you were living for the Most High? Aren't you always saying, God bless you and praying for people, but then you yourself don't have the willpower to do what it is that your king is at. Like any job, when you go and apply for the job, they tell you what's required to do the job. In some jobs that you go to, they tell you, hey, this job requires that you work weekends, that you put in a lot of overtime. Is that a problem? And if the pay is right, most of us will say, nah, it's not a problem, especially the younger we are. And we're trying to impress and we're trying to get ahead. But when the Most High asks for it, it seems to be a problem. He says, you got to be willing to give your all. Consider the cost. Or people are going to look at you, wasn't you just in church screaming hallelujah and prayed to Jesus and all these things, and now I see you back at the bar. I see you at the club. They're looking at you saying, hey, you know, maybe they didn't really get saved. Verse 33. I'm just going to drop down to verse 33. Fourth precept. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all he has, he cannot be my disciple. These are the qualifications. And if you don't meet these qualifications, then you can't be his disciple. You can't be a follower of Messiah. You can say it to people, but trust me, he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. I told you what I wanted, but you didn't give it to me. You didn't meet the minimum job standards. The job standards, the minimum job standards is to give me your all, to give me your whole heart, to be willing to put in whatever it takes. You wanted to give me what you wanted to give me and thought that it should be sufficient. It wasn't your all. So get away from me. Hard words, I know. But the Most High wants what he wants, and he's going to have what he wants. And you're either going to give it to him or get out of the way. There's a day coming. So seek ye Yah and his kingdom and his righteousness first. Kingdom's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. You must seek the kingdom with your whole heart. You cannot love anyone, not even yourself, more than you love Messiah. You must consider the cost. Are you willing to pay it? And you must be willing to give up everything to follow Messiah. I pray we can hear this. All right, on to today's precept. Atonement yesterday and today. On last night, we talked about the priesthood, and we showed how, and we talked about the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is the place where the sins of Israel were stored up until the Day of Atonement. So when you sinned in Israel, the Most High says, if you sin in ignorance, then you could be atoned for. You could make an atonement. But if you sinned willfully, your iniquity shall remain upon you. You couldn't bring a sacrifice for that. You couldn't be atoned for because it was willful. And so when you did qualify to bring a sacrifice for your sin, because it was in ignorance, when you laid your hands upon the animal that you were bringing for a sacrifice, your sins were transferred to that animal. That animal was then killed at the door of the congregation. Some of its blood, depending upon who you were, if you were a priest or if it was for the entire nation, that blood was sprinkled at the veil, on the veil of the Holy of Holies, the curtain. And then some of it was wiped on the horns of the altar of incense. The rest of the blood was poured at the base of the altar of burnt offering, where the actual burnt offering, the fat and the kidneys of the animal were burnt to Yah. And it was a sweet savor, a sweet smell unto him. And your sin, which was in the rest of that blood that was poured at the base of that burnt offering, that burnt altar, was stored in the sanctuary. And the sanctuary at that point, as soon as blood was stored there for sin, not for a free will offering, not for a goodwill offering, not for a meal offering, but for a sin offering, made the sanctuary unclean. So once a year, the sanctuary was cleaned, and the sins of Israel were forgiven for those that qualified. So your sin, you sinned, you came and you made your sacrifice. That blood was stored in the sanctuary along with the sins. And then on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and he would take two animals, a goat and a scapegoat. They could both be goats, they could both be sheep. One was named the scapegoat, one was named the sacrifice of Yah. The sacrifice of Yah was killed, and his blood sprinkled on the altar to cleanse it. His blood was sprinkled on the altar of incense, on the mercy seat, and on the altar of burnt offering. And then the rest of the blood was poured at the base of the burnt offering, but it was used to cleanse it rather than for sin. All of the sins of the people were covered over with this and cleansed. And he placed his hand upon the head, both of his hands, upon the head of the scapegoat. And all of those sins were transferred to the scapegoat. The scapegoat was then taken out into the wilderness and let go, taken out away from people. Now, if a wild animal ate it, then so be it. That, you know, that animal was unclean for humans, and even the person that carried it out was unclean until they came back and washed. The point of the matter was the sins were stored up in the sanctuary for that year until the Day of Atonement. And that's what the Day of Atonement was all about. The forgiving of the sins of all of Israel, those that qualified. Now, if you sin intentionally and you were not allowed to bring a sacrifice, or you bought an illegal sacrifice, because the Most High knows the difference, and your sacrifice, your sins were not able to be covered because you sinned willfully, then typically in the nation at that time, if it was found that you sinned willfully, the Most High says that you were to die without mercy immediately. You were tried, judged, and sentenced, and the sentence was carried out immediately. You were killed. So it wouldn't be any such thing as, oh, I'm guilty and I'm sitting up here in Israel. You were to be killed right away. Now, we know there have been some exceptions to that in the scriptures. David was an exception. And the Most High says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So we are dealing, there are things that are in the wheelhouse, in the domain of the Most High. And we can, as most people do, most people try to place themselves in that domain. Well, the Most High will have to have mercy on me. I would not put myself intentionally in that domain for the simple reason that the vast majority of people, you only have a few exceptions, really one, where the Most High does that. Unless a person is truly 100% repentant, truly repentant in their heart, then you'll see the Most High repent. I'll have a change of heart toward you. But you have to be truly repentant. You can't be saying, I'm sorry, and then go back and do the same thing. Go back and walk in sin. Because then the Most High says, oh, you think I'm a fool. You think you can mock me. And this is the vast majority of mankind, because, you know, we want to walk right, but then we don't really want to be fully committed. And the Most High says, I will not be mocked. Now, we'll read those verses another time, but understand, he says, I will not be mocked. So you're not going to make a fool out of me. Now, what we're going to read about today and get into is atonement under Messiah. Because if you died for breaking the Most High's commandment, sealed with the blood of bulls and goats, not the blood of Messiah himself, the Most High himself in flesh, what do you think will happen to you or is going to happen to you if you transgress the laws of the Most High after you come to Messiah and the covenant is sealed in his blood, a more precious blood, a more expensive blood? And that's what each and every person has to understand so that they don't take Messiah for granted. But if they understand the gift that he gave them, the atonement that he offered, that you don't walk lightly in it. That's what we're going to get into today. The book of Hebrews. And as we studied the priesthood on last night, and we learned that the priesthood, the high priest, they all had to be atoned. They had to, if a priest sinned, then he had to make atonement for his sin, then the nation, then the individual, okay, and how that was done, and the duties of the priest. Now, Messiah being the high priest, and that's what we're going to learn about, understand that he had to do the same thing in the heavenly of heavens, and he had to do the same thing in the tabernacle, the sanctuary that was pitched by the Most High, that was put up by the Most High and not man, the heavenly tabernacle. Man was just emulating the things that happened in the heavenly. But because Messiah is eternal, then there are some things that when he does them, they are eternal. He only has to do them once, where man had to do them over and over again. The high priest had to go in every year on the Day of Atonement. Messiah is only going to have to do that one time. And that day is coming. We don't know the exact date, but it's coming. The heavenly sanctuary, just like the priest, the earthly priest had to clean the sanctuary once a year, there's going to come a time when Messiah will clean the heavenly sanctuary, clean it of sin. After that time, there will be no more salvation. He's only going to do it once. So let us jump into this. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 1. And I pray we can get this, and I pray we understand, and I pray that this helps us to understand the Day of Atonement, and I pray that when we observe the Day of Atonement from now on, that Messiah died for our sins, and that he does make intercession for us. And the point that I want to bring out today as far as his intercession is, there's only two ways he can intercede for you. That he intercedes, that Father, this sin was ignorant, or this sin was willful. If it's ignorant, then he can say, yeah, we can put that up under the blood. If it was willful, then you can't put that up under the blood. That's how he intercedes. He don't say, oh, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, it's forgivable. It's not how he's making intercession. It's not how the Most High has ever judged. He's judged off of what you did, whether it was ignorant or willful. So we as his saints, that's why it's important that we know that, so that we can walk correctly before him, that we don't do something that we know is wrong, and then say, oh, well, all I got to do is confess, forgive me. No, you had to confess that in the past, and if you were guilty, you died. So we're going to read this so that we have understanding of it. Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 1, we're going to look at Messiah's ministry, his priesthood. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Elohim, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is father without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the son of Elohim, abided a priest continually. Now, it's comparing Messiah, the Most High, and this description we have is of the Most High, in flesh, king of Salem, when he came, what they call a epiphany, him being in the earth in a form. In this case, he was not born of a woman. But he had a kingship in Jerusalem. And he was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. He met Melchizedek, he met Abraham. Without father, without mother, without descent, but made like unto the Son of Man, in the form of a man, abided a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of spoil. Abraham was only going to pay homage to the Most High. Abraham was only going to yield to the Most High. Abraham was only going to submit to the Most High. And the Most High is here in front of him as a man, as a king, in the form that Abraham can deal with him in. And Abraham pays tithes to him. And this is where, even today, the saints are commanded to pay tithes, not in the Levitical priesthood, not according to the Levitical priesthood, but according to the Melchizedek priesthood. Because tithing, you pay tithes to the Most High. You're not paying it to a man. Now consider how great this man was, even whom the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of spoil. And verily they are the sons of Levi, who receive of the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. All of Israel was commanded to pay tithes, even though they were all of the seed of Levi and all of the seed of Abraham. But they paid tithes in Abraham, and they were commanded to take tithes of their brethren. Why? Because they're collecting what belongs to the Most High. Stop. And anybody that does service to the Most High, they're supposed to collect tithes of the people for the Most High. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed them that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. He was blessed by the Most High in flesh. And here men that die receive tithes. But there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lived. And as I may say, so Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham. Because Abraham paid tithes of Abraham, paid tithes through Abraham. Even when they were in his loins. Hadn't even been born yet. But it's setting the precedent. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. That's why when we look at this thing, abortion, we got to consider how the Most High looks at it. And we have to use his standard. Verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now, the Melchizedek priesthood was an eternal priesthood. It is eternal. The Levitical priesthood is based upon the Melchizedek priesthood. And the Most High is really reintroducing the Melchizedek priesthood because Messiah had to come as a man, had to be born through a woman. And if we understand why, understand that when the Most High created Adam and Eve, gave them dominion over everything in this earth. There was nothing in the earth that was higher than man, Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, mankind, were the god of this earth. They had dominion over everything, and this is what Satan took. I want your authority in the earth. And they gave it up to him. And death entered into the world. So in order to affect change, the Most High had to step into day six or step into his world, his creation. Come through the womb as he had dictated that everything after Adam and Eve were created, that the only legal way into the earth was through the womb of a woman. And he came and he said, you know what? But that act of creating a man through the woman, sin. And I have to come into the world and I cannot have anything to do with sin. So I'm going to take the man out of the picture. And I'm going to speak myself into the womb of this woman. That's how I speak. My word is active. And I'm going to be born into the world not through sexual intercourse, but through an immaculate conception. And I'm going to enter into the world into a body that is without sin, that will meet my requirements. Because I need to intervene for man. I need to do a work that man can't do for himself. The God of this world has corrupted himself. And I allowed him to use the animals as a way to make atonement to me, until I could come into the world and rectify this situation as a man. So I need to change the priesthood. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe. Remember, the priesthood in the earth was given to the Levitical tribe, to the tribe of Levi, to the family of Aaron. Messiah did not come through that tribe. But Messiah was going to come to establish it. So there was no mention of the tribe of Judah at the altar for priesthood. For whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. This tribe is the Melchizedek tribe. It's the eternal priesthood. For it is evident that our Lord, our Master, sprang, our Yah, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet for more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, eternal life. The priest, the earthly priest, they were born, they live, they die. another high priest had to take their spot. And these were all subject to sin. So the Most High says, I'm going to do one better. I'm going to reinitialize or introduce into the world the Melchizedek priesthood, and I'm going to make this an eternal priesthood, one based on eternal life and endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was eternal. So Messiah is going to be a priest eternal. But he is with father and mother, because he had to come into the world and be born as a man to effect change in this world from the position of a man, from the position of the God of this world, man. Blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient to pay the price for the God of this world, man. Satan is not the God of this world. Man is. It was given to man by the Most High. And he says, now, if I want to affect change in the world, I want you to follow me. But if I want to affect change in the world, whatever the God of this world does, only way for me to fix it is to come as one of you. That's how much authority and power that he gave man. I have to come as one of you to fix it. So this is the priesthood that I'm going to establish in the earth. I'm going to bring my heavenly priest all enter into the Melchizedek priesthood. If we do what he says to do. For there is verily a death annulling of the commandment going before the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect. The law was not designed to make anything perfect. The law was to bring you to Christ. The law was to show you that you were a sinner. That's what the law is to do, is to tell you how not to be a sinner. But the bringing in of a better hope did by that which we draw nigh or near to Elohim. You can't draw near to the Most High in transgression. You have to learn of his ways. You got to learn what is acceptable with him and what is not. And then you can draw nigh to him. You can draw near to him. You don't want to come near to him and you are in transgression. That's not going to work well for you. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest without an oath. The Levitical priesthood didn't take an oath. It was assigned to them. You are now my priest. This is what you do. But this was an oath by him that said unto him, Yah swear and will not repent. The oath was made by the Most High himself. Yah swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he assigns this priesthood to Messiah in his earthly form. Now this is going to be an earthly ministry. And I'm going to allow men into this priesthood, which is a heavenly priesthood. It's an eternal priesthood. And in order for you to receive this priesthood, I got to also give you eternal life. So I'm going to resurrect you so that you can step into this priesthood for eternity. But you are to walk in it, learn of it, and walk in it while you are in your natural body. You are in training. And you are to work toward perfection. And you are to become perfect. You are to become holy, to be part of this priesthood. That's why Messiah said, you got to do it with your whole heart. You can't put anybody above him. For what I did for you and who I am, you can't put anybody, not even your own self, above me. And if you can't do that, then you cannot be my disciple. You can't be part of my priesthood. My priesthood and everybody in it is eternal, and they have to live righteous lives. By so much was Yeshua made a surety of a better testament. You're going to receive eternity, and you're going to receive a kingdom that is eternal, a kingdom that is righteous, a kingdom where everybody in it is righteous, that's alive, that is able to walk around and do what the Most High wants done. All the rest, they are thrown into the lake. And they have eternal life. They can't get up out of that lake, and they can't get out of that anguish. That's why you have to treasure what Yah has done and what his atoning grace and power has done. That you don't take it lightly. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Talking about the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. They truly were many priests because they were born and they died. They were not suffered to continue because they died by reason of death. But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Elohim by him, ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, this intercession, as I said, the Most High doesn't change. And what people are taking as grace, that they can come to the Most High continually after sinning and just ask forgiveness. And Messiah will intercede for them and make intercession on their behalf from the position of Messiah. You know they are up under my blood. And you know they believed on me. And I said, if they believed in me, I would save them. But I also gave them some conditions that they don't seem to want to accept. They don't seem to want to give me their whole heart. They don't seem to want to worship me and put me first in everything. They don't seem to have a problem with transgressing willfully. They don't seem to have a problem with that. So when I'm interceding for them, in order to be just, in order to be righteous, then I have to intercede from two positions. Is this person sinning out of ignorance, or is this person sinning willfully? And I will intercede for those that sin ignorantly. And I will write it in the book, this sin was willful, or this sin was ignorant. And when we open up the book, on the day of judgment, then I will judge everyone according to his work. And I will strike out their name for all those who sinned willfully from my book, who didn't realize or who didn't accept and repent of the dishonor that they brought to me. And all those who sin ignorantly, I will keep their name in my book of life, because they did it ignorantly, and I will wipe away their sins. On my day of atonement, the day that I make atonement for all of mankind, just as the priest did for Israel, I will do it for the world. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily at those high priests to offer up sacrifice. I don't need to offer you sacrifices every day. I shed my blood once and for all. One time. For all time. To mean all of your sins come up under my blood. Because I have qualified it. I qualified it in Torah. I qualified it under the new covenant. So I understand that man by nature was sinful. And I understand that all men sin. That all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Most High, fall short of my glory. And I'm going to extend grace to every human being and step under my Torah law. If you were found guilty of willful sin, you were to be put to death immediately. But up under this new covenant and up under the period of grace, up under this dispensation of grace, I'm going to allow you, every one of you, who sin against me willfully, who sin against me in ignorance, I'm going to allow you to come one time. And I'm going to forgive all of your will sin. I'm going to put it up under my blood. Up under my blood. And I'm going to pay the price for you. I'm going to allow you to have a clean slate. And I'm going to make atonement for you. One time. For all your willful sins. That's great, because we should have died. According to his standard, we should have been put to death. Let's read this last verse, and then let's go to Romans chapter 3. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. I'm doing this once for all generations. I'm not going to come back and keep sacrificing myself every generation and die for that generation. I'm eternal. This gift and this act is eternal. But you got to understand that there are some if conditions. Do it. And it is hot in here. Let me turn on my fan. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. The word of the oath which was sent the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. So Messiah is doing the job that the Levitical priesthood was given on the earth. He's doing it in the heavenly. And he's doing it in the sanctuary that was pitched by the Most High. That Moses was shown. Make it on the earth look just like this. And then you're going to do the job that the heavenly priest does. You're going to do it on the earth. Because I need you to understand my system and how I operate. Go to Romans chapter 3. And then we'll come back to Hebrews 3. And let's get verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Yeshua HaMashiach, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a replacement, a payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, not your future sins. I'm going to remit, I'm going to forgive all of your sins that are past. Past what? That are in the past or before you came to Messiah, before you repented. Because remember, you have to repent, which means that you have to confess your sins. Now, I'm going to forgive you all those sins. All those willful ones that you did in the past. I'm not really holding you accountable, even though you're guilty of it, of those sins that you committed that were in ignorance. But things you knew were wrong, and you did them anyway, I'm going to forgive you for them one time. The day that you come to me, and you realize that you are a sinner, that means that you realize how you transgress. And you confess those sins. Then I'm going to forgive you for them. And I'm going to wipe your record clean. And from that day forward, you are not to transgress. You can't come to me and say, well, I'm trying to do better because I'm not taking trying. If you transgress, you deserve death. If you transgress willfully, because you knew these things are wrong. So for you to transgress means that you had to transgress knowledgeably, willfully. You are no longer under grace. You have fallen from grace. And I would intercede. I interceded the first time. I said, yep, this is their first coming to me. They can confess their sins, and my blood will cover and pay for their sins, all of their past sins. The only future sin that I'm going to intercede for in a favorable way is the thing that you don't know. You didn't know that X was a sin. But the day that you found out about it, you confessed it, you turned away from it, and I am true and just to forgive you, just as I have always been. I allowed atonement for that. But I did not allow atonement for willful sin. I didn't allow you to even kill an animal for that. how do you think you're going to bring it and put it up under my blood? And you might say, Brother Miles, that's just your interpretation. Let me read the rest of this verse, and then we will move back to Hebrews chapter 8. Through the forbearance of Elohim, the Most High says, I'm not going to charge you with this. I'm not going to charge you your past sins. I'm going to forbear sentence. I'm actually going to come up under Messiah. I'm going to forgive you your sin, your willful sin, and your ignorant sin. This one time, you don't keep getting to use Messiah over and over and over again for your willful sin. That's great. I'm going to allow you to do this one time because in the past, I did not allow this. Your iniquity, your sin, was to remain upon you. Now, we read this last night. So we know that this is the way the Most High, this is the way he acted and carried out judgment in the past. He says, I change not. But I'm willing this one time to offer atonement for your willful sin through Messiah, that all men might be able to come to me, that all men might be able to be saved. I'm doing this once, and I'm doing it for all men. But this does not cover your future sin after you acknowledge what I have done for you. After you know the truth, this does not cover your willful and disobedient sin. There's an if condition. And the body of Messiah is being lied to and told that the Most High will forgive you forever, no matter what. All you got to do is confess. Never been his M.O. That has never been how he operates. It is not how he operates today. And as we come up on atonement, the Day of Atonement, it is critical that we understand this. It's not how he operates. It has never been that way. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8. Understand that Messiah is a propitiation for your sins that are past. How does that work? When you come to him, you acknowledge him as your Savior. You confess your sin, and then you are baptized into him. You are put under the blood. All of your sins are forgiven. All of them, but not your future sins. You are still accountable for what you do after that. Back to Hebrews, chapter 8. Now remember that Messiah is an eternal priest. So when he died and took his blood into the heaven, into the heavenly, he sprinkled some of his blood on the veil for all mankind, on the veil between the Holy of Holies in heaven, where the Most High's throne is. And he sprinkled some on the altar of incense, where the prayers of the saints are offered up. and he wiped some of his blood on the horns of that altar, on the horns of the altar of incense in the heavenly. Blood and poured it at the altar of burnt offering in the heavenly. And all the sins of mankind are stored there until he does his cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary. That day is coming. When he shall do the same thing as the earthly priest did. He will step out of the priesthood, out of doing that job as a priest, and he will put on his kingly robe too. So let's continue. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, which Yah pitched and not man. They equate. You have the sanctuary that Moses replicated on the earth, that the Levitical priesthood did their duty in. I'm going to be the savior of mankind. And I'm going to bring this priesthood to the earth. My heavenly priesthood. And so I'm going to step into the earth, and then I'm going to step back into eternity. And I'm going to come into the earth legally through the womb of a woman. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to be the sacrifice. And then I'm going to step back into eternity. And I'm going to step into the duties and to the job in the sanctuary which Yah pitched, which he put up and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. There was a priesthood on the earth that was ordained to be in the earth. It did not come out of the tribe of Judah. It was assigned to the tribe of Levi. Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts unto the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. They serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. What the priesthood on the earth did was a type and a shadow of what happens in the heavenly. Messiah is doing exactly what was required in the heavenly, but he only had to do it once. Who served unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, that Moses was admonished of Elohim when he was about to make the tabernacle. Thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. Make this earthly tabernacle, this earthly sanctuary, look exactly like the one in heaven. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. What was wrong with the first covenant? For finding fault with them, Israel, mankind, not the laws. There was no fault in the law. There was no fault in the covenant itself. The fault was in the ones who were in the covenant. The agreement between the Most High and man. for finding fault with them, he says, behold, the day is coming, saith Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. That's who he found fault with, them. And I regarded them not. I had no respect of them because they had no respect of me. Think the Most High is going to have respect of you and you don't do what he asked you to do? Trust me, he's not going to regard you either. And I regarded them not, saith Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. The same law. He amended some. He replaced them with a better law. But he did not do away with his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. I'm going to write them in your heart. I wrote them on clay tablets before. But they never got into your heart. They never got into your mind that you should do them out of faith. I'm going to write them in your heart. Now, how the church, that's why it's a false church, how they feel like they don't have to keep them, they're not under them, they're not subject to them, I will never know, because they have been blinded to this. Blinded to it. I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. The same promise they made Israel in the first covenant. If you obey, I will be your God, your Elohim, and you will be my people. In the new covenant, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. And I'm going to be your Elohim and you're going to be my people. Nothing has changed. Not going to use those animal sacrifices anymore. The blood of Messiah is sufficient. It is eternal. You're not going to have a Day of Atonement every year where the priests, the Levites are going to come out and make atonement. The high priest every year for the nation of Israel. You're going to still observe it so that you understand my moves and what I'm doing. And you're going to appreciate what I'm doing. But I'm not dying every year for you. I'm going to make an atonement once. Forever for ignorant sin. I'm going to extend grace once for all of mankind forever until I stop dispensing grace. That all of mankind can come to me once and have all of their willful sin from the time they were born until the time that they came to me forgiven. That's my grace. One. From that point on, go and sin no more. Definitely don't sin willfully. Be disobedient intentionally. And then think that I'm going to forgive you because you said, yes, I did it. I did it, Most High. And you're not truly repentant. Because perhaps the Most High will repent. If you are truly repentant, Most High, I fell again, but I'm truly repentant and I'm turning away from it. Perhaps he will forgive you. But he knows your heart. And if he looks at your heart and says, no, you weren't really truly repentant. But you turned around and did that thing again. You think you can mock me. Verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for all shall know me, from the least to the great. For I will have mercy. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity I will remember no more. That's a past thing. It's an ongoing thing for every generation. Until he stops dispensing grace, allowing people to come to him. But once you have come to him, then you're supposed to stop. Because up under his law, you cannot make atonement for willful sin. That didn't change up under Messiah. I extend grace to you one time. After that, you are accountable again. You are accountable for your walk. You are accountable for what you do. In that he said, a new covenant he has made, the first is old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. When Messiah shed his blood for us, he says, now this is my blood, which is shed for you in the new covenant. The old covenant is done away with. The new covenant is instituted. Now confess your sins, repent of them, get baptized in water, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the Ruach HaKodesh. Don't willfully transgress against me from that point on. Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. This sanctuary is the one that Moses had built after the pattern of the one that was in the heavenly. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, the holy of holies, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, round about with the gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of the glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went in always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Elohim. They went in always into the first one, sprinkling the blood upon the veil, sprinkling the blood upon the altar of incense, and upon and pouring the blood at the base of the altar of sacrifice, burnt sacrifice. They did that always with every sacrifice. Second, went the high priest alone once every year. Once every year, the high priest took two lambs or two goats or a goat and a lamb. Cast lots. One was the one that the lot fell on for the Most High, for Yah, was sacrificed to Yah. And its blood was used to cleanse the sanctuary. And the second animal was deemed a scapegoat. And all of the sins of Israel were put on the scapegoat. Messiah became both of those, the sacrificial lamb and the scapegoat. The Most High put all of the sins of man on Messiah. He became sin for us. And he's the scapegoat and the atonement as the resurrected Christ, the lamb, when he was hung on the tree. And his blood was shed for us. He fulfills both of those. But the second went the high priest along once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Remember, errors, when you make an error, it's not intentionally. It's a mistake. The scriptures are very clear and consistent. An error is due by accident or through ignorance. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Now the Most High, when Messiah was crucified, the Most High ripped the veil into from the top to the bottom, stepped out of the Holy of Holies, and said, now my spirit is not going to dwell in this tabernacle made by the hands of man. But now I'm going to offer my spirit to all mankind. I would fill specific men for my purpose. Not even the priests who did the service to the Most High were filled with the Ruach. It was his prophet filled his priest with them, very few of them. But now in these last days, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But you got to do what he said to do. Which was a figure for a time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. The sacrificing of these bulls and goats didn't clear the conscience of men. But when you realize what the Most High did for you to Messiah, if you truly understood it then and appreciate it, then you understood that he just wiped away all my sins. I can approach him without a guilty conscience. I can come and worship him not feeling that I'm unworthy because of sin. Until I sin again. If I sin willfully, then I better have a guilty conscience because I sinned knowing that I was sinning. To be feeling guilty as hell. Condemned. Oh my. I have offended the Most High and I did it and I knew what I was doing. Verse 10, which sit only in meat and drink and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, being become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, the tabernacle in the heavens, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of this sanctuary that's on the earth, neither by the blood of bulls and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into and once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, the red heifer, sprinkled the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Elohim, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, of a new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, the transgressions that were under the first sin. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testimony is, there must also necessitate the death of the testator. Messiah had to die in order for the New Testament to take effect. So he came into the world as the Lamb of the Most High. He died and was the sacrificial lamb. He rose again as the scapegoat. But as when he was dead, all the sins were put on him. And for 3 days, he went back. He went out into the wilderness, back in the past, to those who had not heard the gospel. But he died as the scapegoat. And his blood, when it was poured on the altar of burnt incense, a burnt sacrifice in the heavenlies, put all of the sin of all mankind forever there. That sanctuary will have to be cleansed in the future. And that's what we are looking for. Let's go to, for time's sake, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, drop down to verse 26. I'm sure we all understand that Messiah is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. We understand that Messiah is performing the duties of the priest, the same duties that he only had to do it once. So he ascended into the heaven and he performed the duties in the outer sanctuary that the earthly priest did in the outer sanctuary every day that somebody brought sin to them, brought a sacrifice. Every day that somebody comes to Messiah and they are confessing their ignorant sin, he puts their blood, their sin in the blood that's under the altar of burnt offerings in the sanctuary, and he intercedes for them. And then every day when somebody comes to them, him, and they find out that they are doing something ignorantly and they confess it and they ask for forgiveness, he puts that up under the blood. But when we willfully sin, if we sin presumptuously, if we sin knowledgeably, knowingly, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, you now know the truth. You know how it works. after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Just as he said, the soul that sins willfully, his sin shall remain upon him. If you do this after you know what Messiah has done, there remaineth no more blood. You can't put that up under the blood. You can't make atonement for that. You can't use the blood of Messiah for atonement for that. It doesn't qualify. That's why it says everything with the Most High, nothing is unconditional. Not even his love is unconditional. There's always a if condition. And there is a if condition to your salvation. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You ain't putting that up under my blood. I'm not going back up on the cross for you for that. And you're not putting it up under the blood that's already under the altar. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. You should be very afraid. You should be very afraid. In fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Because you make yourself his adversary when you sin willfully after you know the truth. You are my enemy. You are not my people. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Without mercy. When they found that man picking up sticks on the Sabbath, they killed him without mercy. When Achan stole the stuff out of the temple of these false gods and brought it and hid it under his tent, he and his family died without mercy. You and I, when we sin willfully, we were supposed to die without mercy. That's why he said, I had grace, and I extended grace to you. I extended it to you. I allowed this one time. But if you willfully sin after that, you can't bring those sins to me and say, forgive me. You can't say, I'm sorry. And this is what the church is teaching. This is what Israel is teaching. The Most High is all merciful. He's all kind. He's all forgiving. No, he is not. He says, you have disrespected what I did. You disrespected it. You counted it unholy. Unclean. So you have a certain looking for of judgment, of fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy up under two or three witnesses. How much worse, how much sore the punishment, how much worse the punishment? Suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the son of Elohim, who has stepped on Messiah and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, wherewith he was set apart, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I forgave you all your willful sin, and now you're going to sin willfully again, and you have done the spitefully unto the Spirit of grace? Can't hear this. A lot of us don't want to hear this. A lot of us, this is so condemning that we want to say, shut up. Liar. It ain't so. My God is not like that. Can't hear this. Won't hear it. It's okay. I can't have your blood on my hand. I can't be the watchman and not holler to you and not scream to you that Yah is going to get you. Because you have treated what Messiah has done as an unholy thing. Now, if you were ignorant of this, which I truly believe all of us at one time or another were, I want to petition the Most High. I want to make a special petition of atonement with the Most High for the people of Yah. Whether you be Jew or Gentile. And if you didn't understand the ramification of your actions, and if you were doing this and treating Messiah this way ignorantly because you had been taught that the Most High was all merciful and that he was all kind and that he was all forgiven, and that's what you believed in your heart, and so you thought that you could bring this willful sin to him and that he would be okay, I want to petition the Most High for this year's atonement, that all those who hear this word and who understand and who are convicted in their heart that they have transgressed and that they have offended Messiah and that they have been doing it ignorantly, but now they understand and they are truly repentant with godly sorrow, to turn away from willfully sinning and doing despite unto the Spirit of grace, treating what Messiah did as something common, that God would forgive them, even as they repent. And as they come before him, that they call out to him, that they confess that they have sinned against Messiah, and that they were doing it ignorantly because they were taught lies and not the truth, and that they have believed the lie, and if the Most High allows them to hear the truth and to believe it and to understand it and to turn away from, that he would have mercy upon them, that he would not impute their sin against them, should walk upright before him from this time forward, and that they should remember every day of atonement, that they should remember and afflict themselves on this day, on the day that's coming up. That was once me. I was walking in that way, but I thank Yah that he opened my eyes and he allowed me to hear and he allowed me to understand and he allowed me to repent. And I also fear him that I will transgress, that I walk very carefully up in front of him, that I fear his name and I fear his judgment. I fear transgression. Father, yeah, I let each and every person bow their head. Father, yeah, as your day of atonement comes up, Father, you know the hearts of everyone. And you know what the churches and what the camps have taught. You know that it is a lie and it is of the enemy. But to many as you should call, Father, and as many as you should give understanding, and as many as have the willpower, Father, to repent of this thing, to truly repent of it with their whole heart, and to pick up your ways, your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and your judgments, and to walk in them. Father, forgive them. Throw this sin into the sea of forgetfulness. According to each of our hearts, Father, throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Remember it no more. Let them have a clean conscience before thee, Father, that they might worship you with a clean and a clear conscience, knowing that you have made them whole. And let them not walk away. Let them not walk in the spirit of error. That they will have the knowledge of the truth and walk in it and fear you, Father, and worship you in spirit and in truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. This is what atonement is all about. So on Tuesday, we shall remember anything that we have brought to the Most High on this year that we brought to him that we were doing in ignorance. We confessed it. That he is true and just to forgive us. For all those people, whoever he allows to hear this message, and whoever he allows to attend on the Day of Atonement, because I'm going to make the same prayer. I'm going to make a different prayer, and then I'm going to make the same prayer because it is the as he has called me to. That he would forgive. He would not impute. I ask each and every person, invite someone for atonement. Invite your friends, invite your family. Whether they come or not, still invite them. Because it shall serve as a testimony for or against them. That they should come from under this falsehood. That they should set the matter right with the Most High. That they should learn that his love is not unconditional and that their salvation is not unconditional. That they might walk before him and get into a right standing with him on this atonement. I pray that this word has blessed somebody on today. Even if you were convicted, you were blessed. What you do with that conviction. Because many have desired to hear these words and have not heard them. Many the Most High is not going to even allow to hear these words because he wants to condemn them. But you have heard them. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, saints, on this evening, remember, I love you, but I cannot love you like the Most High. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom. Have a blessed rest of your Sabbath. Well,